function. And you know, right back at the very beginning, which is a good place to start, if you always start at the beginning. I once heard a preacher say, if you can believe the first verse in the Bible, you won't have a problem with the rest of it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So if you acknowledge that in the beginning, God created everything, you won't have any trouble with the rest of the Bible. I just had a drip of water on my head. Look, the water's flowing. It's dripping from heaven. I'll move on this side. I felt it. It's coming down from heaven, the water. Hallelujah. And you know, in the beginning, we know the story of creation and the 6 days of creation. And during creation, God stood back and said, let there be. You know, let there be light. And there was light. And the evening and the morning were the first day, and it was good. And then he had the sky and the water, the land and the sea. But each time he said, let there be, let there be. And it was his voice which had the power of creation. Just by speaking it into existence, things were created. And then he created the plants and all the seeds and the trees. And you know, every plant has a seed. And in that seed, it can create and bring forth new life. He has put his seed within us to bring forth new life. And you know, with a plant, doesn't matter what type of plant it is, a tree or a grass or a flower, any type of plant, once that seed falls to the ground and dies, then it can bring forth life. And we need to be like that seed that falls to the ground and dies. We were at Life Group on Wednesday night, we were talking about being a living sacrifice. We need to hand over our lives to Christ, to be his servants. With the story of creation, we know that on the sixth day, God made man. But you know, when he did all the other creations, he stood back and he said, let there be, let there be. And it was his voice. But when he made man, he formed him. He formed him from the dust of the earth. So man was the first thing that God touched. So God touched man, and we've been needed to be touched by God ever since. It was that touch of God that formed us. And if you can imagine trying to form dust, the dust of the earth, I think there was a bit of water added to that. Just like when I was standing over here, there was a bit of water added. By adding that water, you can form things. Because we know that God is the potter. And what is clay? It's dust and water. And when God made man, he formed him. He formed him into his likeness and to his image. But once man was formed, there was no life in him. So what are we? We are a container. We're a container for what? For the Spirit of God. We are vessels. Just like the potter makes a vessel, when God formed man on the sixth day, he made him a container. And then what did he do after he was formed? He breathed into him. And once he breathed into him, he became alive. So without God's breath in us, we are dead. We need God's breath in us to bring us to life. And God always has, he forms, he fills, and he gives function. So even when he created man, he formed him, he filled him with his life, filled him with breath, gave him life, and then gave him a work to go and tend for the garden. So as the body of Christ, we each have a function. We're each called, we each have a purpose. We are many members, and we all have a place, and we all have a purpose. We all have a different function to perform. And we know that when the body comes together, there are many, many parts, and each part is different. But we need to be joined together. If we are separated, we die. You know, here's my body. If I cut a finger off, that finger will die. I can still function with the rest of my hand. My body will still work. But if once that finger is separated from the body, it will die. And you know, that finger needs to be connected to the head. Now, I can move my finger because it's connected to the head. If that connection is broken, that finger will still be alive, but it won't be able to do anything. And we see people that might have had a spinal injury and they're paralyzed and they're in a wheelchair. They've been separated from the head. Their body might still be alive. They might still have legs, but they're not functioning. So to function as a body of Christ, we need to be connected to the head. And the head is Christ. Everything comes from the head. But we also need to be connected to each other. In Ephesians, it talks about joining of the body together and how every joint supplies. So it's from our connection with one another that we function as a body. And the scripture talks about growing, and the growth comes from that connection. So if you want to look at church growth, it's the body of Christ connected to each other. There has to be that connection. There has to be that joining, because separately, there's no growth, there's no life. We need to be connected to each other, connected to the head. Everything comes from the head. Everything comes from the head. And once we're submitted, once we lay ourselves down and do what he says, you know, the scripture also says, you know, if the hand says, I am not a foot, therefore I'm not part of the body, or if I'm not an eye, like, there's no part that's better than the other. And it talks about thinking of yourselves humbly. Like, don't have an exaggerated opinion of yourself, but think of yourselves in a humble and sober manner. You know, we see a lot of people today, not in the church, but in the world, having a very high opinion of themselves and, you know, exalting themselves and putting themselves up. Well, that's anti-Christ. The life of Christ is to humble yourself, to give favour to one another, to give preference to one another, and to not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought. And for a body, there are many parts. Some parts might be more visible and more comely. Some parts you don't see. Like, you don't see the lungs, you don't see the kidneys, you don't see the inward parts, but they've got a very, very important function. You know, I can live with one lung, I can live with one kidney, but you're restricted. You don't have the same capacity. So we need to accept that we are all different. We are all in Christ. We're all part of his body. We all have a different calling. We all have a different purpose. But we're all important. We're all important to him. He created us all, and he gave us all a function. So our function is not to come in on Sunday morning and sit on a chair for an hour and a half. Our function is to work and to serve in his kingdom. Remember the story of Jesus when he was walking along and he found a fig tree, and it was in the time of, it was in the summertime when it should have been covered in fruit. He went to eat some figs and there was nothing on that tree. He cursed that tree. The next day they walked past, it had shriveled up and died and there was nothing left. Because that tree had a function. When God created you, when he formed you, when he breathed his breath into you, he's given you a function and he wants you to perform that function. And there's a curse in not doing it. Just as that fig tree was cursed, if we don't do what God has called us to do, we can bring a curse upon ourselves. You know, when it talks in Romans 8 about the many parts of the body and the different gifts that we might have, whether it's a gift of prophecy, whether it's a gift of serving, whether it's a gift of teaching, a gift of encouragement, a gift of giving, a gift of leadership, or a gift of mercy. Whatever God has given you as your gift, you need to function in that gift. There's another parable about the talents. To one he gave three, to another one he gave two, and to another he gave one. Whatever God has given you, he's looking for a return. We're not formed, we're not filled, and we're not given a function to just sit there and do nothing. He wants us to be workers in his kingdom. He wants us to be living sacrifices in his kingdom. He's given us a work to do. And to be joint together as a body, to have every joint supplying, and that's not some joints, it says every joint, which means every single person. So, you know, if we've got a church of 100 people and there's 50 that are supplying, that church is not going to grow. Because the scripture says, through every joint that supplies, the church will be edified and built up. So we need everyone performing in his kingdom. And it's not a choice. By not doing what you're called, you're bringing a curse upon yourself. Just as that fig tree was cursed, God is calling us to be workers in his house. He's calling us to give. He's calling us to serve. But remember, there's all different types of service. Some services are seen, some are not seen. But whatever God has called you to do, do it as unto the Lord. Lay down your life. Be that living sacrifice that you can give unto God. Give unto him to serve, to honor, to give him glory. And you know, when in the original creation, when God formed Adam and he put his life into him. And then, you know the story when after Jesus had died and he was on the cross and they speared his side and out flowed the blood and the water. So that was where the church was born. Out of that flowing of that blood and water came the church. And then when all the apostles were gathered in the upper room, they were being formed. They were all there. They were formed together. There came a rushing mighty wind, which was the breath of God upon them. And then they had purpose. They had function. Peter got up and preached. And then we go on to see the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. They were given work to do. And they were willing. They got out there and did it. So when God forms, when God fills and gives function, he's looking for a church that works, a church that's alive, a church that's active. And you know, with our natural bodies, if you get a cut on your body, the body heals itself. It forms a scab over that cut. Everything gives that attention. Like if your hand is injured, your whole body cares for that hand. It takes priority. And we need to be the same as a people of God. If we see someone injured, don't stand back and take pot shots at them. Gather around them, protect them, cover them, encourage them, build them up. The same as the natural body does when there's an injury, to protect and to build. God has given us examples on what to do. You know, the story of, well, not the story, but in Ezekiel, the Spirit of God takes Ezekiel and takes him to a valley of dry bones. And it's a huge, big, vast valley, and the bones are very dry. So you can imagine, like a hot, desolate place. These bones have been lying there for years, and they're just dry, dead bones. And God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And then he says to Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy over these bones. And he prophesies over the bones. And there's a rattling. And the bones begin to come together and form skeletons. These bones must have been there for years, just lying in the desert, hot, dry. There's nothing left. They're just, and you can hear the rattling. And then he prophesies flesh, and the flesh grows over them, and the skin is formed, and they're complete bodies, but there's no life in them. They've been formed, but they haven't been filled. And then the breath of God fills them. They stand up as a great and mighty army. The church of God has been formed, it has been filled, and it's up to us to stand up as a mighty army and take the purpose, take the function, take our calling, and whatever we are in the body of Christ, to work, to do what we have been called to do, to function as we have been called to function. Whether you're a hand, whether you're a foot, whether you're an eye, an ear, whatever part of the body you are, you need to function in that part. Because separate, you will die. And disconnected, you'll have no function. So you need to be connected to the body, connected to the head, and then you can do your part in the kingdom of God, which is what it's all about. He hasn't called us to be pew warmers. He's called us to be servants. He's called us to lay down our lives. He's called us to be givers. He's called us to honor and to serve and to give preference to one another, not to think of ourselves highly, but to think of ourselves humbly and to serve him. Hallelujah. So today I'd like to encourage you to look out for one another, to give honor to one another, to encourage one another, to bless one another, and to treat our brothers and sisters as part of our own body. Hallelujah. And I think if we can do that, we'll be able to fulfill our purpose, fulfill our function and our calling in Christ. Well, be blessed in the Lord. I will pray for you. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, this morning, I thank you that you have made us as a body, that you have called us together, even though we are many members, that we are one body in you, that you are the head, and that we all come under your authority, that we all come under your leadership, your guidance, and your calling. And Lord, I ask that we would be open to hear, that whatever your command is, that we would do it. Whatever your will is, that we would do it. And that we would submit our wills, that it would be not my will be done, but your will be done. That we would lay down our lives as living sacrifices, and that we would be willing to serve in your house, that we would be willing to serve in your kingdom, that we would be willing to serve one another and to do as you have called us to do. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Thank you. Well, we've got tea and coffee over here in the kitchen. Stay for a time of fellowship. We've finished early, so you don't have to rush off. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.